That was Les Miserables, the musical, and you are tuned to 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is a recorded edition of Bathrobe Spear's Broadsides. This is the recording voice of Bathrobe Spear, Robert Norris, speaking to you. I'm currently headed up north for Arcata, California, where people are facing contempt of court charges for serving free food with Arcata Food Not Bombs. For a year, Arcata Food Not Bombs has been under attack, enjoined by a court order designed to drive homeless people away from downtown Arcata, and the attack is on those who feed them, the Food Not Bombs people of Arcata, a small town just south of the Oregon border. We're going up there to be present at the Tuesday 8:30 a.m. trial of four Food Not Bombers who face up to 5 or 6 months in jail apiece. They've been videotaped by the police in numerous incidents throughout the year of criminal labeling, criminal bagel distributing, and criminal rice serving, and they face jail for that activity. We intend to go up there and to serve food in their place, to support them in court, and to try to publicize just what's going on up there. I myself will probably be facing a 2-month jail sentence in January. This sentence stems from a San Francisco conviction for violating another injunction, which is currently standing against Food Not Bombs in San Francisco. I was the only person ever taken to trial in San Francisco or in any major urban area that I've ever heard of. The jury found me guilty after a 4 or 5 day trial when my main witness, Keith McHenry, was jailed and could not testify. There are numerous other irregularities, including the fact that the court order under which I was accused of violating was not shown in its entirety to the jury. The court modified that order, and recently the Superior Court, which is the court that reviewed my appeal on that case, ruled against me. I may have another shot at it. I'll be keeping you abreast of what's happening, but at the moment it looks grim. It looks like I'll be heading for the big house in January, San Bruno Jail in San Francisco, to serve 2 months for contempt of court. But more on that later. We have an immediate crisis here in Santa Cruz. The open-air shelter, the Back 40, the River Street Campground, the campground at River and Highway 1, which has served people for the last 2 summers and now serves about 200 people on and off every night, is due to be closed down. And we have interviews with people out there talking about that situation. It's going to be closed down, and there's no plans to reopen it at the moment. There is some stirrings from City Council looking for another site for the open-air shelter. That, to me, seems unlikely at best at the present time. The people that have this situation in their hands or have the power to alter it are the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, a group that owns the property on which the open-air shelter sits. That group purchased the property from the city in 1991 under a proviso that stated it would be used for the homeless or very low income. What they plan to do now, come March 15th, actually come January, but the effects will be seen in March, they will remove completely the open-air shelter, which serves up to 200 people now, and they will put in its place some trailers donated from Stanford for a drug and alcohol program for 44 people, transitional housing and a drug and alcohol-free program. Ridiculous. Vicious in that it's going to eliminate the last legal place for people to sleep here in Santa Cruz, and I'm encouraging people at the campground to organize against it. You're going to hear a lot of interviews around that issue, and other interviews that may be of interest to you from the law, from Berkeley, and from other areas. This is Bathrobe Spear's Broadsides. You won't be able to call in today because I won't be in the studio, but you can call 423-HUFF. 423-4833. Express your opinions. You want to help fight for the campground, to preserve the last and the only open-air shelter, the only low-income campground of its kind in the state, if not the nation. Give me a call. Leave me your name and phone number. When I get back on Wednesday, we can pick up the struggle. At least I can pick up the struggle. I'm also going to give you phone numbers of other people who are carrying on the struggle here, both out at the campground and in the larger community. I want to follow the progress of City Council's Open Air Shelter Subcommittee, which headed by Scott Kennedy, with Catherine Byers and Celia Scott there as well, supposedly looking for another campsite. I mean, indeed they are, I suppose, looking for a campsite, but unfortunately they're looking for another campsite for the open-air shelter, not for a place that Community House should be moved to, which is the real group that should move. The real project that should be moved is Community House. It's obviously much easier to locate relocate 10 trailers than to relocate 200 people. Something that's been said many a time, but needs to be said apparently louder to the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. So if you are a member of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, if you've donated to the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, give that group a call at 458-1958. That's 458-1958. That's the phone number of Daryl Darling, who's the executive director of Community House, so-called. The fancy name and friendly name for 10 trailers that are going to dislodge in a very unfriendly fashion 200 people come March 15th. Now, there are more details on this as well. The Armory Winter Shelter, which can shelter only 120, 130 people. I think the total, actually, the Armory and the church programs reaches only to 160. That will be starting on December 1st, when the Winter Armory is open every night on a steady basis. Before that, the Winter Armory will be open every night when the weather is cold or rainy, which sounds good, and it certainly is good. The more shelter that's available, the better. The problem is, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless is going to use this as an excuse to close down the field, where people have set up tents, established a living space, a place from which to go to work, a place from which to try to better their lives. And what's going to happen is they will be able to get into the Armory Winter Shelter at night, but there will be no field to come back to during the day. So people will be dislocated, thrown into a completely dependent status, essentially dumped downtown during the day or wherever they happen to find themselves. The field should remain open throughout the winter. This may require expanded expenditures for staff. This may require volunteer efforts by people living in the field, and I understand such efforts are beginning. But the real stumbling block is none of that. The real stumbling block is the determination, the bureaucratic, short-sighted determination of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless to recoup its investment on Community House, to make use of these trailers that are being given away by Stanford, to make use of the waivers and dispensations that they're getting from the city, to serve as a magnet for community block development grant funds, to get their project on the road, regardless of the consequences, to the only legal place for people to sleep in Santa Cruz. The fate of 200 people, the so-called Citizens Committee for the Homeless, concern for the homeless, seems to be limited to using the homeless for whatever projects it has at the moment. Now, also happening this week, tomorrow, on Tuesday, November 7th, from 3 to 5 in the afternoon, is a meeting of that open-air subcommittee of City Council that I mentioned before, the Byers-Scott-Kennedy Subcommittee. They're holding a special study session, I believe, from 3 to 5 p.m. in the ABC room of the Civic Auditorium, which is right across from City Hall and Kitty Corner from the main library downtown. So if you're interested, again, 3 to 5 p.m. tomorrow, Tuesday, November 7th, in the ABC room of the Civic Auditorium, that's an open-air shelter City Council meeting, a discussion of the question of homelessness and the needs of people for shelter. People need to show up in mass down there. Homeless people need to show up in mass. Mark it on your calendar. I would be there, except I'll be up in Arcata. But hopefully you'll be there. And now we're going to go back to October 27th, about a week ago. And here's some stuff from the mall. Interviews with people who have experienced different kinds of problems, so have different points of view. Check them out.
Downtown hosts.
Hey,
your name is?
My name is Rain.
And what happened, Rain? You've got a kitty here in your hat and some pens and pencils. You're illegally spare changing. What else has happened?
What happened with the police?
Well, we were sitting over there. The guy with the tarot cards was sitting there. He was doing his business like he always does every day.
Right.
And this black cop comes by and says, well, you need to pick that shit up because this is the city's property and you don't need to be on it.
That's what he said.
Like as if we're not belonging to the city.
I see. Would you like to file a complaint about that?
Nah, they'll get it one of these days.
Thank you, Rain.
And now a bit of street music, an interview with Patty Long, long-time activist in Santa Cruz, and actually one-time worker with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless in some of the more positive projects it's engaged in.
Bay Radio Santa Cruz is in front of the Del Mar Theater with a longtime homeless activist, what we call you, homeless activist, a community activist. Patty Long. Patty, you say historically at this time, October, November, there's generally crackdowns in order to, should we say, facilitate merchant activity, or?
Yeah, it's my experience that like after Halloween or just before Thanksgiving, there's always a crackdown on homeless people or other people who might be selling their crafts, their art, their little bits of jewelry.
No guns, you know, is hassle to the farmer's market.
I spoke to, I'll just comment on this first, that I, you know, the merchants want to have a good Thanksgiving and Christmas. They want the place looking primo, they want the mall or Pacific Avenue looking real fine. And so traditionally the police have always cracked down on the alternative community, either playing music or selling their arts and crafts. There's no place for crafts people in this town to sell their arts and crafts unless you got a lot of money. And so they're going to set up wherever they can. I was talking to No Guns just recently, and she was being harried by the new security guy
at the farmer's,
at the farmer's market, and he was throwing up barricades all over the place on Lincoln Street across from where the stalls are. And he was claiming that, well, there's more trucks coming. There were no more trucks coming. And No Guns has had a table there to alert people about various good causes for justice or for peace or for
rights of Native Americans.
And rights of Native Americans. Right. And she was being really hassled by this guy who they hired to be like the goon.
Yeah, I heard that last week that she'd successfully, at least she'd actually garnered four other people to do stands with her, and the guy didn't show up last Wednesday, so I guess this Wednesday we'll see what happens there at the farmer's market.
Yeah, well, I think there's a place in the sun for everybody, and, you know, this is a free country. The farmer's market, which we had the idea for with Ron Lau 10 years ago in his own private parking lot, and never got off the ground because we could not get the permits. So we're not foreign to the idea of the concept.
Ron Lau, for those who are listening, was the landowner or the building owner who controlled the old bookshop Santa Cruz, and I guess what is now the courtyard area, which has a Chinese restaurant, an Indian restaurant,
a Big Rose. There's Kelly's, and there's the new restaurant owned and run by his son called Oswald, a fine eating place. So the farmer's market is a place where you buy food, good food, organic or close to organic. And it's also a place for people to gather and socialize, and freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of assembly is still the underpinnings of our society and not the greed of merchants.
Right, and it's a tradition in Santa Cruz, which is sometimes overrun by police officers and green shirts, but I think it continues to emerge. Although as the weather turns cold, I expect we're going to see less people on the streets.
I hope there'll be less people on the streets. It's so sad to see homeless people living on the streets, And my hope and prayer is that somehow the Interfaith Satellite Program will find enough room for everybody who needs a place to sleep, to be warm, to be secure, to have the basic facilities that they need.
You know, lamentably, I've been doing a lot of research recently around this, Patty, and the open-air shelter is closing, which actually will probably be delayed at least till December 1st, because the state is not giving permission to open the armory as of yet. But then on December 1st, it will open continuously until March 15th. But even with the armory open, I hear predictions of at most 150, 160 spots in both the armory and the North County Church programs combined. So that's going to leave at least 40 people or more who are currently at the campground out in the cold. And with the winter, you can bet your boots there's going to be more people seeking shelter than are currently seeking shelter.
Oh, absolutely. I just believe everybody should have enough food and a place to sleep and the basics of life. And every church and temple and state should make every possible effort to help people find a safe, warm place to sleep every night.
Oh, yeah. But, of course, the problem here in Santa Cruz is where the rubber meets the road. The only legal place for people to sleep at night outdoors is the open-air shelter, which is owned by the Citizens Committee to dislocate, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which is planning to set up its little community house boondoggle. I'm sorry, its transitional housing project, community house, on this piece of property, which essentially amounts to 10 or 12 trailers from Stanford. And I have not been able to get that board of directors who I talked to last Thursday to commit themselves to saying, sure, we'll do that if we can, but if we can't find a legal place for the open-air shelter, we'll move community house if we can, or delay community house and continue this open-air shelter. They are not interested. Any reaction to that?
Well, I'm not much connected at all to
your old pals on the Citizens Committee?
The Citizens Committee for the Homeless. I don't think you can run homeless programs from the security of your house high on the hill.
Yeah.
I think you have to be out in the trenches where the homeless are, listening to them and finding out what they need and get it for them. Period. Not what they want, but get the homeless what they need. Just go out and do it.
Now, you were once rather actively involved with the Citizens Committee, right?
Yeah, in the early days. We formulated the idea of buying that field. As a matter of fact, the city tried to sneak it by an auction to commercial interest. I spotted it in the paper.
Really?
And I told Paul Lee and Fred that it cannot be done that way, because in the clause, when it was bought from the University of California,
almost funding
the city, it would have to be used for the common weal, for the common good, and it couldn't be resold. So that's when the Citizens Committee, which I was on, got involved in bid for it and got it for $325,000.
In 1991.
Right.
Now, is there a provision that they had to build homeless stuff on it?
Well, that was one of the reasons in purchasing it, to put up SROs so that the rents would be affordable, $200 a month. Even people on SSI could kind of work that, or people with temporary jobs, you know. So the concept is very, very good. At that time, it was perfect. There would be a community house, a community center. They would have private rooms with shared beds, common kitchen facilities, recreation rooms, music rooms, TV rooms. Since that time, the population of the homeless in Santa Cruz has grown enormously, and there are far more people on the streets now than 7 years ago. And since nothing really developed because of a lack of funding, the land became a place for an outdoor campground, and we have 140, 150 people.
200.
Up to 200. And so we have a different situation.
Bravo!
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you. Name of the singer, what's the name of the singer? Your name, madam?
Smiley.
Smiley Ann.
Smiley
Harmony. Harmony and Smiley Ann.
Tweaky.
Tweaky, there you are. The music you heard earlier was Smiley, Harmony, and Tweaky. And we are talking to Patty Brown.
That's good.
Who is shutting up at this point. Thank you, Patty.
Yeah.
Thank you. So we're down here on the mall on the 30th, what, 8:39 or about. So, you said you were, I'm speaking again to...
You want to kill me with the
Anonymous.
Anonymous.
Pull my eyes.
And,
pull my eyes.
And Anonymous, you were here, well, you were here throughout the weekend with your jewelry. And successfully were able to continue to show it to people.
On the stone sculpture,
You're one of the stone sculptors we interviewed earlier.
Yes.
And you said that today you were pressured to move?
Yes, we were asked to move. Well, you know, he was very polite about it and just stood back and asked us to set all this stuff. He's not supposed to be here, so pack it up. Or, you know, he had a garbage bag in his hand, so it was like, toss it, pick it up, or lose it. So we lost it. You know, we got done what we had to get done today, and I'll leave it at that. I'm going to enjoy the rest of my evening.
I
still have some work to get done, but I'll have to find elsewhere to go do that. But I'd rather not start any problems because, you know, I'm a peaceful man and I'd just like to leave it at that for the evening. You know, tomorrow night I might stay,
right.
You know, because I have to do what I have to do and I have a right to be here. And I'm still here, you know, and I'm still with the people and we all help each other here. That's how we survive. And,
except for this guy, of course.
Well, you know, you always have these couple of bad apples.
Yeah, the bad apples.
Bananas. Oh, no, we're all family over here. Well, I try and play, you know.
Gypsy.
You know what I mean? Hey, how you playing?
How you doing, man?
I'm family.
How's
my papa doing?
All right.
Good, good to see you.
Oh, good. It's family life down here at Cat's Island Pacific.
It's the more. You know how it is. Well, so, you know, we just try and keep our mouths shut and our eyes and ears open and survive out here. Because, you know, the least you say, the better off you are. And that's what I've learned. Even with the officers, just let them talk. Like, you know, I'm a humble servant. I only want what's mine. You know, I could be out here being an animal. Instead, I'm carving stone. Why can't I just sit there and carve my stone? Leave me alone. Leave me alone. And the people, it's culturistic. I come from Brooklyn, New York. That's why I love New York. It's because it's so full of culture. And the police is so wrapped up. The police are busy because there's a lot of crime. That's what I believe the police should be taking care of, is the crime. See, what I'm doing is I'm sharing from my soul, and the people amongst me are sharing all that they have and their creativity and love that they have for the life. And they'll do everything they can to break it down, man. You know, it's like slavery. It's slavery.
You can't sell your stuff. See, they can't sell your stuff. They can't tax your stuff. They can't make profit out of it.
They can't have a piece of it. That's why marijuana won't be legalized, because it's a business. It's a business, see? It's a matter of money, capital. If they could make more money legalizing it, they would. They would.
There's some change for marijuana research.
They're changing within 3 feet after dark, a criminal offense. And have to turn you into that officer across the street.
Yeah. I truly believe
marijuana.
What I'm doing.
Marijuana is a tool.
Marijuana is a tool. It is a medicine.
It's a remedy.
And it's a sacred part of reality. You see, and evil tries to use it because it is a power that can be used in an evil way. It could take from your life. It becomes a central focus of your life. It can make you into nothing. Actually, you make you into nothing. Under the influence of it. If you choose to take what you know in your heart and soul and you seek truth, it can be used as a tool to heal you. Cancer. What a cancer patient. I got 12, I got 15 friends that have serious chemo, you know, going through serious chemotherapy and radiation. And marijuana takes the
food study.
Nausea from them, you know what I mean? I got 18 different friends, serious, that have all the types of cancer. And it is a tool. So now they prescribe it, but now you have to pay somebody else in between, so now they get a piece of it. You need it, and they still get another piece. They already sold it 10 times, and they sell it again through the doctor that prescribes the prescription to. Where is the fairness? You know, it's just,
and they made it legal.
There is no justice.
They made it legal for patients to get it in California now.
The government vetoed it.
And I'm going to say, some of these people out here, I don't blame the officers for getting upset with them, because I think they're idiots too. Some of the people out here, and it's not, and when they deal with a lot of different people that are of that manner,
They don't know who I am. They don't know, you know what I mean? They're just trying to play.
This is a different officer told you to move your stuff? And,
yes, this is a different officer.
I see. Well, they can wore you down, it looks like, one after another another.
Exactly.
They send in a third
Hey,
team.
I went through the weekend. We made it through the weekend.
Yes, we did. You did. I was impressed.
Today I got a lot of good sleep, came out here for a couple, I was out here 2 hours, and made enough money to survive, made enough trades so that I can carve my stone, and it's beautiful. Everybody has what they need, so why should I push the issue? Just let it be to the even. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The stone jeweler that you heard speaking about the right to display material on the street without harassment, the fellow from New York, the subject of an earlier interview, which I may also be able to put on a tape subsequently, in which he held back the police from hassling him. That is to say, he continued to sell his jewelry peacefully, ignoring harassment from the police with me standing by and other people watching. And the police, this happened at Cathcart and Pacific 2 or 3 days before the interview you just heard. He and other stone carvers making jewelry continued their work. They had been told by hosts, told by police they couldn't be there. Different sections of the law were cited. They were told they were blocking the sidewalk when they weren't. They were told they were sitting illegally when they weren't. They were told they were commercially displaying jewelry when they weren't. A series of harassment efforts designed, obviously, to fulfill some kind of decision the police department had made to move people, particularly street jewelry people, away from the downtown. A bit of street life from another fellow.
And so I'm on the street. It's about, 3:20. I'm right Front Street in front of, near a Goodwill shop. Front Street Thrift. I'm talking to Snakes Blitzkin. And where are you from?
I'm from Indiana.
And I see you're pushing a cart. You got some crutches in the cart, some clothes.
I got a bad foot.
And how long have you been in Santa Cruz?
I've been here for 2 days.
And you say Santa Cruz isn't treating you too well.
No, Santa Cruz, I love Santa Cruz. That's why I came down here. I was going to move down here. But I don't know, in the last couple of days, I had a change of heart. I'll be back, though, you know. I want to move down here to Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to find a couple of people who want to put up with an apartment, you know, where we can afford it.
Have you lived here before?
No, I haven't, but I've been here before. And the only reason I came down here is they made the film, The Lost Boys.
Yeah.
And I slept underneath that bridge and it just about scared the shit out of me.
Oh, really?
I was scared, man. I slept right underneath the bridge.
Where are you sitting?
Over there by the...
Is that where you slept last night, or...?
No, I slept over here, down here in downtown, but...
Any hassles, or...?
Oh, no, people are very kind. We got a lot of trashers. So it's really hard for the people to, you know, just neglect us. But then, you know, and...
You ever use the open air...
They have an open heart.
You ever use the open air shelter?
And does.
You ever use the open air shelter right here?
No, I can't. To tell you the truth, I've been kicked out of every shelter from here in Timbuktu.
Why so?
Because I'm a lowlife.
In the sense that...
Nobody wants me.
Well, I mean, what do you do that you think makes them think you're undesirable?
That's what I...
Well, now, I mean, are you a drinking man who's a loud drinker? Are you are you a violent drug dealer?
I'm very loud, but I understand what you're saying.
Are you violent?
No.
So it's mainly a drinking problem, the reason people don't want you in the shelter?
No, I'm an undesirable.
In the sense of?
I'm undesirable.
Why are you undesirable? What makes you undesirable? Why would people call you undesirable?
I don't know. I have gone through another life. It's like people already know who I am.
Well, you're male with a shopping cart, so you're sort of a stereotype homeless person, perhaps.
Yeah.
Are you homeless? Would you call yourself a person
without anything?
But, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean you're undesirable. Unless, you know, some person has a particular problem with you, or you have a particular problem with some person.
Yes, I do.
That's it.
Because I'm going to rip them apart. Whoever did this to me made my life so fucking miserable. I'm going to hold them. So,
well, where are you going to be sleeping tonight?
I'll probably be sleeping outside unless I find somebody give me a
place to sit.
Room for night or something.
Do you take government services of any kind, or?
Yeah, I'll take them.
I mean, do you get a government check, or?
Yeah, I get SSI.
And how long does that last you into the month?
It lasts me at least 3 weeks.
And so you're currently in the fourth week. Hey, so you're waiting for your next check.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of broke. That's why I asked you for a quarter.
I got you. Well, let me see what I can find. All right, so on the bench here we have...
We love you.
We have, we'll call you Quilt Woman. Quilt Woman.
Right on.
Where are you from, Quilt?
Quilt Girl, Philadelphia.
Quilt Girl?
Uh-huh. From Mother Earth, actually.
And how long have you been here on the streets there, Quilt Girl?
In Santa Cruz?
Yes.
A week and a half to 2 weeks.
And so you've seen big cities, you've seen little cities. How does Santa Cruz compare?
It's a little town. It's pretty cool, but it has that West Coast vibe.
What are you doing?
Which is like, a lot of kids are just about drugs and money, and it's all about love, and they don't know what's up.
Have you found people who are in fact loving here?
Of course, I find them everywhere.
Even in Philadelphia, the city of love and brotherly corruption?
Yeah. But it's a city.
You know, I talked to another woman earlier today,
Babylon,
who was actually in the same bench you were on, who told me that she had been approached 5 times for prostitution purposes here in Santa Cruz.
Yep.
Do you think that's a problem here in Santa Cruz, more than
in
Philadelphia?
California. It's never happened to me anywhere else in California. It's happened to me 5 times in California.
In fact, you are the woman I'd want to identify unless you wanted to identify yourself. So California is unusual in this respect, or maybe you simply have a California personality. Or they have California personality.
California is unusual in every respect. I feel like how, you know how like Babylon's gonna fall and something crazy's gonna happen, like a revolution or something? Well, I get the feeling in California that it's gonna happen any second. And I think that's what kept me here, but I want to leave because I don't really like California cities.
Well, thank you, Quilt Girl. Is there anything else you wish to say to our ever-waiting audience?
I love you.
Thank you.
Now we return to the issue I mentioned at the beginning of this program, the open-air shelter, with some more interviews from Thursday, November 2nd, when the Citizens Committee for the Homeless pitted homeless monitors against homeless campers by telling the homeless monitors to go in and threaten the people at the campground that unless they left and essentially destroyed most of their stuff because they couldn't carry it with them, they would be ousted from the campground that night because they were supposedly supposed to be engaged in a clean up, even though there was no particular need to clean up the entire campground. It could have been done a little. Didn't need to dislocate so many people and put their stuff in such jeopardy and put them in such anxiety, but simply a bureaucratic date, which the Citizens Committee relentlessly went forward to do, even though the armory was not open and there was no need to clear the field. What we're going to do now is listen to some interviews from that evening. And this was after the people at the campground who had remained and declined to leave, even though they were threatened with arrest and destruction of their stuff and being barred from the campground and being given trespass tickets. All these are a variety of threats that were made. Different threats were made at different times. They stayed. They spoke earnestly and sincerely to the management, and then Ron, the operations manager, conferred with Interface Satellite Shelter Program Executive Director, the Open Air Shelter Executive Director, Paul Marceau, and he stopped the so-called cleanup, and people were allowed to keep their tents up, and those who had taken them down were allowed to come back and put them back up again. And those people who had lost their stuff in the trash, well, that was just too bad for them. But these interviews take place later on in the day, and then we're going to skip back to earlier interviews.
Sparser, significantly sparser than before, and cleaner. I'm here with Wendy and with the notorious Ankle Deep Ann, who's ankle deep in all this stuff. So you say that some people have lost their stuff because of the rather premature get your tents out number that happened this morning?
Yes, two people I talked to. One man lost. What they did is they went to the closest to the fence up front and they grabbed the people's stuff and threw it in the car next, and when they said tents back up, one man's, all his poles were missing, and another man's all his work clothes, $500 of clothes were missing, and the older man, his poles were gone. He was really upset. He said he was going to go steal a tent, and I looked closer, and he had a teardrop from on a cigarette I give him. So I went and talked to a friend, and luckily he lent him a, or gave him a tent, like he had an extra one. So, but that's too bad. People are losing stuff in the process.
Well, we hope that this will be the last time, though there's no guarantee that it will, uh-huh. that they pull this kind of shit. At least people stop this, and at least not everybody lost their stuff.
There were a few of us that were trying to talk people into, you know, standing up for what's ours, quote unquote.
Right.
And it's like a lot of people didn't want to stick around. They thought, well, it's just, you know, we're just going to end up with a ticket or going to jail and losing our stuff anyway. And
right.
it's like when a couple of them came back and found out that, you know, hey, she was right for once.
Right.
They kind of had this look on their face like, oh, maybe I should have believed her.
Hear you. Well, come to the station.
Yeah, and I'm approved with general assistance to get a place, but I'm so sick I have to rest a few days to run around and look for one, and, you know, with trying to figure out how to carry my stuff and everything, I'm just hoping they'll leave us alone a few days, you know. That's why I was thinking maybe a note so they'd know I wasn't just joking around. That's all. Thanks for helping today.
And that again is at the end of the day. You're listening to Wendy talking. Woman has been around for a number of years for homeless rights struggles in the past. Now you're going to hear some more interviews from earlier that day before the management decided to allow people to stay, and while people were still under pressure to leave, in fact told if they did not leave they would not be welcome in the camp that night, they would be threatened with trespass, they might even be ticketed or arrested during that day.
SARS.
Michael, how long you live here?
About 3 months.
And you say that there was a set of expectations that was suddenly raised here. What was that set of expectations?
Well, the expectations begin with guidelines put down. Sure, it was supposed to be run like a shelter and everything else.
Right.
But they never enforced it. Then all of a sudden, the last 30 days, the crucial 30 days, you know, they're the coldest, before the armory is supposed to open.
From November 1st to December 30th. December,
right, right.
The next
now,
30 days.
Now they decide to enforce this, and they're going through this big thing, this motivation of these other people to get them to enforce it. And we were threatened this morning. What happens is if at 10 o'clock, if we don't leave, the police will come and issue tickets.
Who told you this?
Some of the staff here.
You don't know the names of the staff members?
I really don't know the name of who it was.
I don't know.
But he said that, hey, 10 o'clock, the police will be in to give tickets out for camping tickets. And then after that, if we don't leave after the tickets, they're going to come take our stuff.
I see. So it's sort of a
ISSP
situation.
Yeah, the ISSP. So, you know, and there's been no real, like, any violent situations here, even real threatening ones, you know, since I've been here until now, you know.
And the Conex is leaving, what, tomorrow, they said?
I don't know. They said it was leaving yesterday to begin with.
Yeah, and then they changed it, yeah.
And they changed it, you know. So I don't know. And they justified it. The reason they were going to move it the 1st of November was because I was informed that, you know, it'd be for storage purposes, for blankets, so forth, to prepare for the armory.
But the armory will not open until December 1st.
Right. So
where
how
are you going?
Right. So are they,
what to get you off the field may be the reason.
Well, see, like,
right.
One of the other staff members lives in this little trailer over here, and he's even going to clear that off the field.
I see.
That little trailer in the back.
Well, my understanding, talking to Paul Marceau, was that he gave me fairly certain guarantees that this cleanup would not happen.
Want to say anything, Rocky?
Any comments, Rocky?
I just wish this world was just a little easier. My name is Javed, by the way.
I'm sorry.
Javed Niazi. Anyway,
you got your tent on your back here. Where are you going to go with it? Where are you going to keep it during the day?
The time will come when that happens. Right now, I'm just trying to figure out what I'm going to do the next couple minutes or so.
Have you had to dispose of any of your stuff, any valuables?
Nothing's been stolen. Everybody's been cool around here.
Can you carry everything, in other words?
Oh, yeah, I can carry everything. Everything's cool with that. You know, I have enough strength. I'm a young guy.
Are you going to come back tonight and use the campground?
Well, if they let us, yeah.
Okay, at least that's what they told me at the front gate, that they will allow people back later tonight.
You know what? I don't know what's wrong with them, but, you know, I'm trying to do what I got to do. But anyway,
that's what I think a lot of people are. They're afraid of the recoil if we all get together.
Right.
I encourage people to get together, by the way. I think it's the best thing to do.
I'm not just talking about myself either, you know. It's too bad that everybody has to leave, and, you know, that they have to treat us like a bunch of garbage out here, you know. There's a lot of us out here try to get our stuff together, but they don't realize that. And we also spend a lot of time trying to clean up this place, and they don't see that. And now they want to do something to, like, kick us out, threaten us any shape or form.
It sounds to me like an attempt to make sure people are not forming a community here and keeping the community until
sounds
December 1st.
Sounds like intimidation is against law, man.
Want to comment some more on that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, these people are really fucked up.
What's your name?
My name is Jeremiah.
And how long you been here, Jeremiah?
About two and a half months.
And you're about to move your stuff off so that you won't be arrested or... And it won't be destroyed.
Oh, no, I'm not going to move my stuff off. I'm going to take my personals out of my tent. I'm going to leave my tent up.
You are going to leave your tent up?
Yeah. No, I'm going to sit over here on the railroad tracks and see who pulls it down.
I see.
Payback's a bitch, man.
Thank you. Let's see what Mike has to say. Mike, you want to comment on any of this stuff while you're packing up? Or if you're packing up, I don't know.
Yeah. This program was set up to serve people's needs originally, and now the program has become more important than the needs of the people. The people that are self-sufficient have gotten resources and tools and things together, worked hard for them for the last couple months, you know. Now they're asking you to get rid of all those things and start over again. There are about 30 tents still up here on the grounds, but they're threatening to come in and ticket everybody for illegal camping and force them to move, to make them take all their equipment out every day. Ron, who's the head of the ISSP
Ron's
program.
You heard Ron say to you, there'll be tickets for illegal camping if you don't move your tent.
Right, 10 o'clock.
I see, okay.
So they're forcing us back, you know, to give up our self-sufficiency. You'll see stuff get thrown all away. This guy here has gone to work. He had to leave at 6 o'clock in the morning to get to work, his first job. Right? He couldn't take all that out of here and do that every night. This guy over here has gone to work. His stuff is still here. What are they going to do with their things? Take them away and they'll never find half of it later, you know? All of this is causing a lot of grief to the people that are trying to do stuff for themselves. They've only got another month here, but there's the one issue is that we have to take it down and put it back up each night. We've cooperated with them in signing up and registering. We've cooperated with them in endless cleanups to keep the place clean. But now when it comes to this one issue of helping us to help ourselves, they're saying no, they want us back in a dependent situation, just a bedroll and a tent, up, down every day and up every night. And that just works against all of us here.
Well, I noticed, like, here in this area where you are, there's a large poster, a kind of a nice homey situation. Some looks like some original artwork has been set up. It all looks like a sort of a homish situation. That's going
to
be destroyed by this.
Comfortable with what we're doing. Yeah. But it's more important than the decorating, you know, and creating surroundings that you feel comfortable in. Right. We keep this area clean and healthy. We don't have any violence over here, no hard drugs or alcohol or anything. There's, like I said, two people right here with us that are working. Another guy lost his bike yesterday because he went to work and it broke down, and he had locked all his things up outside the gate, right, to keep them safe because he thought the field was going to be cleared, so he didn't have a lock for his bike. He went to work. On the way to work, his bike broke down. He left it behind a building to get to work. He may lose his bike. Things like that will be happening.
In the past, he would have kept his bike here on the...
Or taken his lock with him, yeah.
Oh, right, because he had to use his lock to take care of his stuff here. So what are people going to do during the day with all their stuff? Is there a place for them to store it or not?
No, there's not enough storage at all.
So you are...
Anita.
Anita, I'm sorry, what were you saying about this?
There's a fenced area over there to keep all your shit in.
Yeah, but the fence that says we're going to leave within the next couple days, too. The Connex is leaving supposedly tomorrow.
So there will be a place today, though, to keep the stuff.
And then everybody's shit's got to be gone with them every day. And those people out here with so much shit, it ain't even funny. I mean, they can't take all their shit with them every day. They got 10, 11 bags full of stuff.
It's going to take 6 or 7 hours just for the people to get their stuff off the field. And then that's impossible to do every day. That's that's asking us too much. We cooperated with everything else, but now they're just pushing us too far. So a lot of people here are going to get ticketed, or they may even get arrested. Who knows?
I'll be happy to join you. I was ticketed on this field in 1991.
How are they going to expect the poor? We're homeless. You know, we don't have any money. We're barely scraping by. You know, it took me 2 months just to get to the level that I'm at now. I need another month at least. I don't have $165. How are they going to? Are they going to take that away? You know, are they going to fine 50 people here or what? Who don't have money to begin with?
Well, maybe what we need to do is organize a group of people who will not leave. Be together, or is that going to be an individual decision?
That's an individual decision, yeah.
Well, thank you, Mike. I'm going to wander around. I don't want to. Are you going to be here for a while?
Stay, yeah.
Okay, then I'll keep an eye on you because I'll be here as long as I can until they take me away. So.